This morning's scripture reading comes from Genesis 1, 27 through 31, Genesis 2, 15, and Ecclesiastes 2, 17 through 26. So Genesis 1, 27 through 31. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now Genesis 2, 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And finally, Ecclesiastes 2, 17 through 26. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, and chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled under for the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work and pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, but to the sinner he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. This is God's holy word.
As we prepare to take in the morning's message, let us rise as we're able to sing number 83, "Lord, We Praise You."
It's here. Tomorrow, the celebration of Labor Day. And my understanding of Labor Day came to give a day off to the workforce of America, those that worked some of those hard jobs in the founding of the nation over the centuries. And so Labor Day was a chance for the common person to have a day off from work and to celebrate the work that they have done. Whatever common person might be. That was a word from the resource I used. And I don't know how many of you listen to country music in the group Alabama, but in 1985, when I was a youngster, I listened to Alabama quite a bit, and this is one of those songs that I can sing along to when I'm in the truck by myself. And Alabama put out a song, The 40-Hour Week, and as a kind of a tribute to the workers of America, both of today and in the past, we'll listen to the lyrics of this song.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay. And it's time a few of them were recognized. Hello, Detroit auto worker, let me thank you for your time. Work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, Pittsburgh steel mill worker, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who swings the hammer, driving home the nail. For the one behind the counter, ringing up the sales. For the one who fights the fires, the one who brings the mail. For everyone who works behind the scenes, you can see them every morning in the factories and the fields, in the city streets and the quiet country towns. Working together like spokes inside a wheel, they keep this country turning around. Hello, Kansas, wheat field farmer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig up and down the road. For the one out in the warehouse bringing in the load. For the waitress, the mechanic, the policeman on patrol. For everyone who works behind the scenes with a spirit you can't replace with no machine. Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.
My family was at the 8 o'clock service, and so I jokingly told them, we told everybody, I played that rather than singing it myself. But maybe for the gong show, I will sing that song, but I know I won't get gonged off soon enough. Just a thought, maybe you can look forward to that. I don't know if you've spent time thinking back over the course of your life, how many different jobs have you done? I know that there's somebody here that worked at the same job for 50 years. I worked at least 18 different jobs over my short life. Now, some of those were at the same business or the same church, but I looked over those 18 different jobs. I liked them all. I enjoyed the work except for the first one. I was a busboy and a dishwasher at a truck stop in my high school years. Oh, that was not good. I think my mom was trying to teach me a lesson. I know I wasn't the most ambitious high schooler. I went to school and did all that kind of stuff and some extracurriculars, but when there was free time, I could be pretty lazy, especially after the wrestling season was over. I could buy that big pack of Oreo cookies, and I had no problem downing those in an afternoon, taking it easy. Remember, in my high school years, my father had already died, and so I didn't have his influence, and maybe my mom was a little soft on me in those years. I'm not so sure. But it wasn't until I went to church camp after my senior year of high school where I learned to have a strong work ethic and I really learned to enjoy working hard. And it was because I was working alongside some farmers and some carpenters and some factory workers. And the thing that always impressed me was they came to camp on their vacation time. I was there getting paid to work, and they came down to volunteer, and four of those men have been lifelong mentors for me, and they taught me how to work and how to work hard and to enjoy work. And as I looked over my life this week, thinking about labor and the labor force, I know that God opened many doors of employment, and then eventually I paid attention to the Lord's call, His guidance, and I entered into the call for pastoral ministry. And there were many lessons along the way. And one of those lessons that I will always remember and cherish was from a friend and a mentor whose name was Bert. And I did meet Bert at camp. He lived in Delta. I had no clue where Delta was at that time. The camps were down near Mansfield in Columbus, Ohio, and Delta, who knows. But that's when I was a student at Defiance College. And Bert would come and pick me up at various colleges, at various weekends, and take me to his house. I didn't know it then, but he was going to teach me how to work even more because he was adding on to his home, and so I helped him with that, and we split wood. And he would take me down to camp maybe several weekends during the year, and we would work together. And I had plenty of time over the course of my life. He was about 20 years older than I was, and we had lots of time together. And Bert worked in a factory. He worked at AP Parts in Toledo. And for 35 to 40 years, I don't know the exact number of years that he worked there, all he did was make tailpipes for trucks and cars. Tailpipe down the line, tailpipe down the line. I mean, there was a machine, but he'd have to load the machine and all kinds of stuff. And he told me it wasn't a very glamorous job, Eric. It's not really what I was thinking about when I was in high school, but it was a job. And it provided me with a good life. It gave me everything I needed to have a wife and to take care of my three kids and see them through adulthood. And it provided for me. And it was a good life. Bert knew the meaning of toilsome labor, of hot and dirty working conditions. And he impressed upon me, and that was, he impressed upon me that for about 6 weeks in my, 30th year of life maybe, he thought I should learn what it meant to work on the line. And so we worked at a small factory in Swanton for those 6 weeks. And they used to have vehicles where you would pull up the emergency brake handle. And whatever you pulled up on the handle, I helped make those things that were inside of those. It was a wire and a button. And it was a machine that I had to feed and put a button in. And you had to get your fingers out of the way. And whew, I mean, both of us worked full-time day jobs. And then we went there for 6 weeks only because he was trying to teach me, Eric, go back to college. Now, I still enjoy working on many different ways and levels when I'm not in the pastoral ministry. And I always think of Bert and what he taught me over the course of his life because he lived a good life. And he taught me how to live a good life because not only work did we have in common, we had our faith in Jesus Christ in common. And Bert was doing what God enabled him to do, and we praise God for the life that he led and the life that I am leading. And that's a lesson for all of us. For every believer, is that we have to have our faith in Jesus Christ to direct us in whatever work that we are able to do and to do it well. We are to work for the Lord in all that we do, giving Him praise and honor for the abilities He has given to each of us to work, realizing each person brings different abilities and different methods and different thoughts and attitudes to our work. And I'll come back to that in a moment. We heard Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, you may not know it, as you know, seeing me as a pastor and all I do is stand up here and talk all the time and those kind of things. But I have a mindset when I am on a work site. I like to build houses and repair houses and all those kinds of things on my free time. My natural mindset is that work is work. When I'm on the build site for Habitat, there's only one thing on my mind, and that is to get that work done. There's no time for conversation. There's no time for taking breaks. You just work. Now, that really worked well when I was 40. Now that we were on the work site on Friday morning, Richard and I and Greg Walker was there. When it was 90-some degrees, it was all we could do to hang in there till noon. It was hot. My son cut wood all Friday afternoon in that heat. And I don't know why he could do that so well, and I gave out at noon. I think it had something to do with about 30 years worth of difference. But the number one priority in my mindset is to get the work done. Fortunately, I've had plenty of other mentors in my life, including, I called you young at 8 o'clock because you are about 30 years younger than I am, okay? That Jocelyn has continued, I mean, we talk. It's not all just work from 8 till noon in the church office. We talk and we converse and we share. And I've learned that from other people as well. That's the different methods and the different attitudes. I'm kind of laid back these days, right? We took water breaks on Friday. One or two. Famed architect Frank Lloyd Wright shared an incident that may have seemed insignificant at the time, but had a profound influence on the rest of his life. The winter that he was 9, he went walking across a snow-covered field with his reserved, no-nonsense uncle. As the two of them reached the far end of the field, his uncle stopped and they turned around. And the uncle pointed out his own tracks in the snow that were straight and true as an arrow is in flight. And then he pointed out young Frank's tracks. They meandered all over the field. The uncle said, "Notice how your tracks wander aimlessly from the fence to the cattle to the woods and back again. And see how my tracks aim directly to my goal. There is an important lesson in that." Years later, the world-famous architect liked to tell how this experience had greatly contributed to his philosophy in life. "I determined right then," he said with a smile on his face, "not to miss most things in life as my uncle had." It's okay to meander and wander and enjoy the aspects of life. There are many influences upon us as we work, as a person works. A retired friend became interested in the construction of an addition to a nearby shopping plaza. Observing the activity regularly, he was especially impressed by a conscientious operator of a very large piece of equipment. And the day finally came when my friend had a chance to tell this man how much he'd enjoyed watching his thorough and very careful work. And looking astonished, the equipment operator replied, "You mean you're not my supervisor?" Do you know we all have a supervisor? And he's watching us at all times? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In the beginning of the Bible, from the book of Genesis, we learn that we are created to work. God tells Adam, "Fill the earth and subdue it." Fill the earth and subdue it, working the land, caring for the land, providing for the people, producing everything needed to live, food and clothing and shelter, to rule over the fish and the birds and every living creature. To rule means to care for and to steward God's resources in honor of the Lord. The Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes 2, it requires a second, maybe a third or a fourth reading because there's a deeper consideration here. God has created us to work, and yet the writer of Ecclesiastes says that our work, our toil, is meaningless. How can the Bible say both? As we think about God creating us to work, how can the Bible also say that work is meaningless? It comes about because of perspective and faithfulness. Ecclesiastes is a book that describes both the beauty and the frustration of life. A theme of the book is that life only has meaning when it is lived in right relationship with God. When it is lived in right relationship with God. We learn that only God can enable our work to become satisfying. Toil, work, Ecclesiastes says, is vanity. It is fleeting and it is frustrating. And so Solomon wrote, I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun. Toil is vanity for a few reasons as he goes on in the verses. The fruit of our toil will be left to someone who didn't toil for it. All of our hard work can be left to a foolish person who will squander it. What is the meaning in that? Verse 22, what does a person get for all the toil and the anxious striving which he labors under the sun? All his day's work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. It's kind of appropriate for me to read that again. I shared this earlier. I woke up at 4:15 this morning, and my mind was going over what I'm doing right now. And maybe if I had been better prepared, or maybe I've been in peace what I was going to say, but it was just kind of just spinning of what was going on. People can work and work and work. But what do we have at the end of the day? More work and more work. You will not find satisfaction in just working. A person's value is not determined by the work that they do. Many, quote, successful people are miserable, when many, quote, unsuccessful people are filled with joy. Work is vanity because it is fleeting and it is frustrating. And it cannot provide lasting meaning in the sense of lasting meaning for eternity. Verses 24 and 25 offer some insight. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. The hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Work, work, work. If we seek the meaning of life only through working, we miss the simple joys that God offers to us all. Frank Lloyd Wright's uncle. Verse 26, to the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. As we work, as God calls and enables us to work, we are blessed with wisdom and knowledge and happiness from the Lord. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Work is important, work is valuable, but there is so much more to life. And one commentary shared, Life without God leads to emptiness, futility, and a lack of meaning. Life without God leads to emptiness, futility, and a lack of meaning. Now, I'm not supposed to say that. Years ago, we had an expression on the sign out front, and I got called on that sign, and it had that life without God leads to emptiness. It wasn't the same sign, but it was the same meaning. And the call was from an atheist that didn't appreciate that message because he had plenty of value in his life. He may have. But from the Christian perspective, life without God leads to emptiness, futility, and a lack of meaning. Because we work and we live and we serve and we love because of who God has made us to be. And we live in this world and we have hope for the world to come. Once again, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Is your toil, is your work unenjoyable? Do you dread doing what you are doing? No matter what you are doing, recognize that all work that is done on this earth will be extremely hard and exhausting. Another one of those camp lessons I learned in my young 20s. And I lived out through my mid-30s, is some of the worst jobs you could do at camp, the manager made me do. All because he was teaching me a lesson that no matter the work, Eric, when you can enjoy the work that you are given, you will make life better for all those around you. I hated washing dishes in the camp kitchen. And everybody that worked with me, and I've shared this over the years, they knew I hated it, and I made that hour for them miserable. I wish they could watch me on Tuesday nights washing dishes at the community meals because I try to make it much more enjoyable. And God has worked upon my heart and mind to make it so. So if your work is unenjoyable or if you dread it, ask God to fill you with a new sense of enjoying work and working to please Him. To remember that God cares for you. Enjoy God and allow Him to transform your anxious toil into a joyful gift, a gift of worship to Him. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Amen.
God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the worker. Make a place in our hearts for compassion to those in need and for the ministries of St. John's. I invite our ushers to come forward and collect this morning's offerings.
Thank you.
God, as you have blessed us in all that you have given us, we ask that you bless these gifts before us, that they too may become a blessing and be used for good, bringing glory to your name. Amen.
Our closing songs call on us to dedicate our efforts to the Lord. We'll have number 455, Come All Christians, Be Committed. And after the spoken benediction, we can sing the second verse of 465, In His Time.
Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.